Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be here tonight? Amen. Praise God. I was wondering how they was going to do this. So they made a way. So praise the Lord. And it's certainly good to be here tonight. And tell you what, the Lord's already helped me tremendously. My mom and dad already know I'm scared to death of heights. And which this ain't too tall to some people, but it just being on some platforms scares me to death, but the Lord's already helped me tonight, so I praise the Lord. Amen. He is faithful. So, but it's certainly good to be here tonight. We appreciate Brother Pinson and the invitation to, and his family and the invitation to come preach to y'all, this fine group, and appreciate the church here. Appreciate my parents for driving us and the church van and all these fine church people that from our church that came to support us, and I appreciate them, and I appreciate you for being here. And I will say this before I get into the word of the Lord. Dad was talking about 3 years ago when he was had that cancer, and well, my side of the story is we went hunting, and I didn't know the full extent of it until others. Or until actually probably Dad testified about it in church. I didn't even know. I don't guess I even knew that he collapsed on me. And but I was calling out, Dad, what's going on here? And but I didn't know really that he collapsed. And I felt him close up to my chair. So I may have had a clue that he did, but I didn't really. I was probably having the gun and everything, so I couldn't just look way back there, you know. But so I didn't know the full extent of everything that was going on, but I'm thankful for God that came there right on time. Praise the Lord. And I remember one time he was going to the doctor the next day, and it was on a church night. We went to church, and he was going to the doctor the next day. And we began to pray for him, whether that was Wednesday night or Wednesday night. And We was praying for him, and I never will forget, if I hope that I get this right, Dad was, I didn't ask him about this, but when his dad had cancer, he was driving home one day with tears running down his face, and I'm hoping I'd tell him this right, and he was saying, Lord, help him to see me into the ministry, and Lord, help him to see me into the ministry. Don't let him die now. And I can remember I was up on the platform that night, and we was praying for him, and I said, Lord, don't let him die on us. Let me see him into the ministry. And the Lord's answered my prayer. He's seen me partially into my ministry, and I appreciate the Lord tonight. Amen. And the Lord is faithful to his people, and I appreciate the Lord tonight for his blessings. It's certainly good to be here tonight. If you want to, you can go ahead and turn to Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 1, when you have it, just shout out a big amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Listen, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and of very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. In verse number 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers, scratch that verse. We'll just go through verse 9. But in these verses, we see that Moses, the servant of the Lord, has died. And the Lord directs Joshua and encourages Joshua to take the command of the children of Israel and to go over Jordan with them and take possession of the land of Canaan and divide it unto them. But in verse number 5, it said that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Amen. And if I can relate this to our day today, just like Moses, there's been many saints of God throughout the ages that have died and they've gone on. And they've passed the scene and they've left us here behind. But just like Joshua, the Lord is calling young people and men and women to carry the torch of the gospel and to pick up where they've left off and to continue the work of the Lord. Amen. And we're supposed to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. And they need to know that they can be free from the bondage of sin that they're in. They need to know that there's a Savior that can save them. Amen. And so just like Joshua, the many saints of God have died, and just like Joshua, we're here left to carry on the gospel. And just like him, he was supposed to lead the children of Israel. We need to carry on and lead the people of God and to preach the gospel and to witness and do anything we can for the Lord to win this lost and dying world. But here's what I want to talk to you tonight about. In serving the Lord and in witnessing and being used by the Lord, I feel that there's things that people feel like, well, God can't use me because of this and because of that. And one thing that I want to talk to you about is failure tonight. The first thing is failure. There may be people here tonight that you feel like God can't use me because I've failed and I've made mistakes in my life before, and God would never use me after all what I've been through and what I've did. But we see several examples in the Bible of people that have failed God, but they was yet still able to be to serve God. I think about Peter in Mark chapter 14, verse 27. It says, "And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." Here Peter was, he was saying, "Lord, I'm going to go with you. I'm not going to deny you." But later on in verse 66 it says, "And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid said unto him, saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word of the Lord that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. This was a terrible low point in Peter's life. It was a terrible place for Peter. Amen. It was, as some people would say, just mark him off the map. Just destroy him. He denied the Lord three times. And some people wouldn't look and say he could do anything for God because of his failure. But I read over in Acts chapter 2, amen, that he began to preach. And there was about 3,000 souls saved. I go on to read in chapter 3, and him and John went at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and there was a gate beautiful, and there was a lame man, and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he went up, leaping and running into the temple. The Lord used Peter in a great and mighty way. Even though Peter had failed the Lord, he denied him thrice, but the Lord still used Peter. Thank God for the forgiveness of the Lord and for the redemption that the Lord gives to people. Even though you denied him, even though you've backslid or you've gone back on your word and you've made mistakes in your life, God can still use you. God used Peter in a great and mighty way. Hallelujah. Amen. I think about Jonah. He was a great man of God. He was chosen by God to preach to that wicked city of Nineveh. But Jonah, we see, boarded a ship headed for Tarshish. And you know the story, how the storm came, and Jonah told them to cast him into the sea. And we see that they finally cast him into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. But in chapter 2, we find Jonah praying, hallelujah, unto the Lord out of a fish's belly. Thank God that he will hear you when you pray for his mercy. The fish, we know, vomited Jonah onto dry land, and he headed for Nineveh to preach unto them, and God spared Nineveh. Thank God for second chances. He was a man that went away from God's will. He was a man that went headed for Tarshish when he was supposed to be going to Nineveh, but God gave him another chance in the belly of a fish, and God heard his prayer, and God reached down with mercy and said, I'm going to speak to you a second time, and I'm going to give you mercy. And he went to preach the gospel to Nineveh. Praise God. Thank God for second chances. Samson was a man that the Spirit of the Lord began to move on him at times. But Samson, we see, he began talking with a woman named Delilah. We find that the lords of the Philistines came to her, and they wanted her to entice Samson to see where all his great strength lieth, and so they could prevail against him. Samson lied unto her three times, but he finally said, there hath no razor, not a razor come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And so we know that Delilah called for a man to shave his head, and the Philistines came upon him. But the Bible says he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. And the Philistines took him, and they put out his eyes, and they bound him with fetters of brass. And the Bible says he did grind in the prison house. But thank God, that's not the end of Samson. That's not the end of his life. Just grinding in the mill. The next verse says, howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. The Bible talks about how the Philistines began to be merry, and they were talking about how their great, about their god Dagon, how he had delivered Samson into their hand, but they didn't know what was about to happen. happened. Samson called upon the Lord and said, "Oh Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. Oh God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and upon which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bound himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Yes, Samson had failed God. But thank God that wasn't the end of Samson. God still used him to bring the house down upon the Philistine army. Samson's name is even mentioned in the faith chapter of Hebrews 11. God still used him after he had failed God. Amen. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace that he can give people a second chance. Even though they failed him, they feel like they cannot be used by God. But God sees the potential. He's not looking just at your problem. He's not looking just at your sinful life. He's looking at what you could be down the road. Hallelujah. When you repent of your failure, the Lord can still use you. Amen. Another reason I feel that people can feel like they can't be used of God is many times they think that because of their circumstances they can't be used of God. But can I tell you that God can use you even though you're going through hard times and difficult times? There was a story about a man in 1871. Tragedy struck Chicago as fire was destroying the city. When it was all over, 300 people were dead, and 100,000 people, men and women, were homeless. Horatio Gates Spafford was one of those who tried to help the people of the city get back on their feet. A lawyer who had invested much of his money into the downtown Chicago real estate. He'd lost a great deal to the fire, and his one son had died about that same time. Still for 2 years, Spafford, who was a friend of evangelist Dwight Moody, he assisted the homeless, the impoverished, and grief-stricken, ruined by this fire, the great Chicago fire. But after about 2 years of such work, Spafford and his family decided to take a vacation. They were to go to England to join Moody and Ira Sankey on one of their evangelistic crusades. Then they was going to travel into Europe. Horatio Spafford was delayed by some business, but sent his family on ahead. He said, "I'll just catch you on later." And on the other side of the Atlantic, but their ship never made it. Off Newfoundland, it collided with an English sailing ship, the Loch Earn, and sank within 20 minutes. It sank within 20 minutes, though Horatio's wife, Anna, she was able to cling onto one of those pieces of floating wreckage from the ship. She was one of the only 47 survivors among hundreds upon those ships. There were their four daughters. Horatio Spafford's four daughters were killed in that awful wreck. Horatio received that terrible telegram from his wife, and it was only two words long. How many know what they were? Saved alone. Saved alone. What a way, what a telegram. Saved alone. But Spafford, he boarded the next available ship to be near his grieving wife, and the two finally met up with the evangelist Moody. And "It is well," Spafford said. "It is well. And the will of God be done," he told him. Though reports vary as to when he did this, Spafford, God used him to write and pen the words to "It is well." And some think it was around the place where his daughters died. How would you feel if you was on a ship and all this was crumbling about you, and you'd feel like, "Oh God, what in the world is going wrong? What's happening in my life? Things are crashing and things are crumbling. My four daughters are dead. My one son is dead. My wife is only the only survivor. And what is going on? How can I ever be a witness? How can I ever tell people of the love of God? How can I ever tell people that there's strength in the Lord? When this has happened to me, how can I ever be a love and be a light to the lost and dying world? How can I ever help somebody else? But even though Horatio Spafford was going through the valley and had hard times to deal with, the Lord still used him to pen the words to a great song that is touching and encouraging thousands of people across this world. Can I tell you, God gave Spafford a song in the night. It wasn't the end of the story for Spafford. He saw great potential in his problem. He said, I can be used by the Lord. He said, I can write this song. And Lord, he probably didn't even know how many people would be touched by this song. But the Lord still used Horatio Spafford in the midst of his problem to touch hundreds and thousands of people. Maybe you're here tonight and you're going through the fire and you don't feel like God could ever use you. Amen. Let him give you a song in the night and to tell other people that there's strength and there's hope. See, I made it through. I know you can make it through. There's other people that's gone through it. I've gone through it. I know God will be with you too. Praise the Lord. You can be used by the Lord to encourage others that are going through that very same trial. You're not the only one that's going through that trial. You're not the only one that's going through the test. You're not the only one that's going through the fire. You're not the only one that has hard times. But can I tell you, God can meet your need, and he can visit you, and he can give you a song and strength. And that very song and strength is going to be what you give to somebody else to help them make it through what they're going through. Hallelujah. Praise God. I think about Dad when he had the cancer. He said, Lord, I'm just going to witness and try to be a light for you, try to encourage somebody. And you know what? God made a way for him. He would talk to nurses. He would talk to different people. He would talk to the nurses and different people. Of course, he knows half of E-Town and half of Hodgenville combined, but maybe not quite that much, but you know, every time I go with him, he knows at least 10, 15 people, and seems like. But the Lord used him in a great way. Praise the Lord. And one last story I'm gonna share with you. About 3 or 4 years ago, I was in the hospital and up in Louisville, and sometimes you go through things and you don't know how God is gonna work through you, how you can ever be an encouragement. And we was up there. I've told this at the church, at my home church, and we was up there, and it was real late at night. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and I got eventually really, really tired that night. And there was a nurse that came in, and she was really hungry for the things of God, and at least it sounded like to me. And she was asking different questions about this and that, and Dad began to talk to her, and you know, she didn't leave that place till about 1 or 2 in the morning, if I have it right. And I was looking at the clock. I got pretty tired there. And Dad was talking to her about different questions, and she was just open to the things of the Lord. And I love it when that's the case. See, like Brother Jeremy Pinson was talking about being rejected, and it's great when people are open to the things of the Lord. And the Lord just used Dad in a great way. Though I was in the hospital, maybe things looked bleak and things looked black and dark, the Lord still was able to use Dad. You see, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You know, it don't matter if you're ordered to go to the hospital. It don't matter if you're ordered to go to the nursing home. It don't matter where you're ordered to go. But the Lord can still use you wherever you're ordered. Wherever he orders your steps, God can use you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. If somebody can get a song tonight, I'm going to do this in closing, and maybe Mom can get a song. And on September the 11th, 2001, was a dark day for America. It was a terrible day for America. The two planes that hit the World Trade Center and how they collapsed, and it was just a terrible day. It was a dark day for the country of America. and it was destruction and heartache. You probably wouldn't find many people that were saying very many good things that day. It was just a terrible and awful day. But let me tell you something. Out of all that, according to some sources that I read, they made a ship from the Twin Towers. They named the USS New York. The bow of the ship was made with 7.5 tons of steel from the wrecked World Trade Center. It has a crew of 360 passengers, and one of its main missions is to transport Marines. It can carry an entire battalion and their equipment. What was ruined was made into a weapon to use against the enemy. Can I tell you, God can take the broken pieces and things of your life, and He can mold them and make them and weld them into something that can be used against the enemy. What the devil used to destroy you, God can use to make you. What the devil used to destroy you, God can use to make you stronger and better Christian for the Lord. Praise the Lord. God can take the broken pieces of your life and He can use it to fight against the enemy. Whether you have a broken home, whether you have broken dreams, a broken heart, God can use it to fight against the enemy. Maybe it just seems like everything around you is broken tonight. God can use that to fight against the enemy. It may seem hopeless. It may seem like no way can God ever use this. No way can God ever use me. But God can use the broken things of your life for His glory and to touch some lost heart for Him. Praise the Lord. If we could all stand to our feet. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands and worship God tonight as we enter this altar service. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you can put together the broken pieces of our life. It may seem like trouble on every hand. It may seem like trouble on every side. Oh, but let us use it as a weapon against the enemy tonight. If you're feeling broken, if you have failure in your life, if you feel like you can't be used of God, I want you to invite you first to these altars. If you feel like those thoughts have been in your mind, how can God ever use this? I want to invite you to come first. Anybody that will.